So the scripture reading today is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us.
Good morning. So good to be with you. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. I thank God for you, Crossroads Church. Words of mahalo to your kahu, my dear brother David. I don't know if you know, we go way back to Kauai. When he was on Kauai, I would take youth groups over there for years. And so we've been friends for quite a while. Mahalo's for opening up his pulpit and saying, come on in, George, and share a word. Mahalo to your Kokua team. Really wonderful. When I experienced firsthand the way that they truly make sure that the person standing here is, well, I would say, as comfortable as you should be. God doesn't want you to be too comfortable, but they want to make sure that at least the earthly human things they can make comfortable for your worship team. And then, you know, I have to bring greetings from my ancestors. Their spirit lives within me. Ooh, I get chicken skin thinking about it. Their spirit lives within me, and their blood is within me. Their words are in my mouth, and their hands are upon my head. Praise be to God. I stand on this holy, sacred ground because of them, because of you. Join me in a moment of prayer. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, interesting thing happened to me this past week. Well, we have this dog at school, and she attracts a lot of attention. And I'm walking her to school in the morning, and as I'm walking with her across campus, a student runs up with a bunch of friends. I think this was an 11th grader, and struck up a conversation with me. It's interesting, when you have a dog with you, people will talk to you. And this student talked about a homework assignment. And then several other friends jumped in, and they were all walking along next to me. Chaplain Scott this, Chaplain Scott that. And they're chatting with me about things. They were so animated. And guess what they were talking about? It wasn't math. It wasn't science. It wasn't history. It was about writing. Imagine this. Their teacher had required, okay, hold your breath, listen to this. Their teacher had required that they write cursive in longhand. Ooh, scary, scary. The nerve of her to require such a thing. I was just so excited. They were animated. They were excited about it. And one of them pulled out a piece of paper and said, look, look, oh, my, here it is right here. I wrote a whole paragraph. It was really cool. He was so proud of what he had done. And the other one said, yeah, Chaplain, look, I wrote in French. I wrote longhand in French, Chaplain. I was amazed and I was thrilled. I commented to them, you know what, that's wonderful, because you know what? I always write longhand. When we were kids, we had to write in longhand. That's what we do. And you know, and even today, now I have to tell you the truth, I may have like killed a couple of trees, but I wrote this one in longhand too. So my sermon's in longhand. I wanted to be honest with the whole thing. There's something about holding the pen in your hand, putting it to paper, and I think I remember better for some reason. There's something about that. And I told them, this is how we always did it. We always wrote things down. I still do it today. Rather than typing, they said, typing? What's typing? No, I said, okay, you know, dude, you know, keyboard. Oh, gotcha. But it made me think. When was the last time you wrote someone a letter? When was the last time you took a piece of paper or card and wrote a letter? It got me thinking about the same thing, that I'm pretty good about cards. When I send packages, I have four kids and now I have four little granddaughters. When I send them a package, and I'm always sending packages because they're all across the continent, I put a little card in and I write something in it. But what about an actual letter? Sitting down and taking time to write a letter. I guess it makes you think. It makes you slow down. It may even bring forth some emotions that perhaps you didn't know were even there. Well, that's what Paul is doing. Paul's epistles, Paul's letters. And there's no need to debate the authenticity, because there's some debate as to what order they were in and if Paul really wrote some of them. But we know they're attributed to the Apostle Paul. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. But each has its own spirit. Each has its own theme. This letter to Timothy, I love the way Paul is speaking like he's his son, a dear child in the ministry. Took on tones of love and care. Talks about Timothy's people. Now, I think that's a good thing. Timothy is reminded that he comes from good people. Wow. Think about that. Timothy is reminded that he comes from good people, that he has had good people in his life. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we have good people in our lives, some way or sometime, maybe long time ago, maybe still today, but we've had good people in our life. Maybe it was as simple as a kind word spoken just to get us through a moment, or as deep as someone who believed in us, lifted us up, took us in, connected us, even when we were about to perhaps go astray and feel like no one cared. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that all is not lost. Because I know sometimes in my life, I have felt like, whoa, I'm lost. Things are not going the way I should. I'm not doing what I should. I'm not being the person that I should. My ancestors are not smiling right now on me. And yes, George, you need to realize God has placed a light in each of you. We've got to let it shine. Now, that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Now imagine you receive this handwritten letter from someone, and think of how it opens. Paul opens it with love, saying, grace and peace to you. Can you imagine that? You walk to someone, you look them in the face. I believe that whenever you stand with someone, you are creating holy ground. And Paul says to Timothy, I'm not with you, but think that I'm with you. Imagine I'm there with you. Grace and peace to you. And he tells Timothy something. He says, Timothy, you have a gift from God. You have a gift from God. And there's a gift within you, Timothy. So now, he says, fan that flame. Isn't that something? He says, God has put that fire within you. God has put that gift within you. Timothy, fan the flame. Fan the flame. Whew. If I was Timothy, I'd probably do like that, saying, are you talking to me? You must be talking to someone else. I've never been told that I had a gift. I've never been said to me that God has placed a gift within me. There's a flame within me. Fan that flame. You must be talking about my sister, my brother, my cousin, somebody else. You can't mean me. No one ever said that kind of encouraging word, because there's many of us who feel that way. No one has said that type of encouraging word, but God has placed a gift within each and every one of us. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. Then Paul gets really deep, encouraging Timothy, saying, God gifts within you, and it's not a gift of being scared or timid. Isn't that something? Now, first of all, you have this gift, and it's not a gift about being scared or timid. No, it's a gift of power. Woo! I mean, have a gift of power? Who can say they have a gift of power? Not crazy rule over power that we hear about so much and that we're experiencing today. Not that kind of power. He says, you have the power of love. And when you have the power of love, you can be disciplined. You can do many things with the power of love within you. You don't have to have power over others. He said, Timothy, walk in grace. And here's the best part. He said, you can be brave because you have backup. He said, you got backup, Timothy. You're not alone. God is your backup, Timothy. You're not going in there by yourself. You're not talking to the people on your own. You're not lifting up words saying it's from me. No, he said, God is backing you up. You got backup. Go forward. Reflect on God's spirit, and God's spirit is stirring within you. I thought about that, and looking over my life, I did receive one letter from someone from an unexpected source. He was my uncle. His name was Uncle Duke. He was an incredible guy. But this letter came from Jackson Prison, because Uncle Duke was incarcerated 20 years of my life. I never knew him any other way. We traveled from Detroit up to Jackson, Michigan to go see him, and my grandmother spent many, many years trying to plea and get him new trials. It was unbelievable. She spent lots of money and never really ever saw him free. Well, finally, he was paroled. And with that parole, he was required to move to another state, so he had to write me letters and had to send letters. And he wrote this letter, and he was kind of like Paul. He talked about life. He said, George, you have a family that's good. You have this family that's good. You have people that you need to listen to. Listen to them. He talked about his life and his mistakes. It must have taken a lot for him at that point to talk about his life, the mistakes that he made. And then he said, George, you know, look, you've got to stand, because guess what? You're the first college boy in our family. No one's ever gone to college. You're the first one, so you've got to stand. Stand and do what God wants you to do, what you're called to do. So here we are today at Crossroads, and God has a letter for you too. God says you must stand. God says you must stand because the world needs you, Crossroads. For 100 years, 100 years, you've been open, and you've opened your heart to everyone. You've said, the world might not say this about you, but come into this safe harbor that we have, because you got backup with us. That's what you said to the world. We can be your backup, folks. For 100 years, you've taken it to heart and said the next level of life is that even if out there you're wandering and you're wondering who or whose you are, welcome. Come in here. You've got backup. For 100 years, Crossroads, like Jesus, you said, come unto me, all you who are weary, carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest, because I'm going to back you up. For 100 years, like Jesus, you taken loaves and fish. And it didn't seem like much. It felt like maybe we can't raise enough money to do this. Maybe we won't be able to get enough people to come and help serve those who are hungry. Maybe we won't be able to get out into the streets of Honolulu and far and beyond. Maybe we won't be able to reach out. But you took those loaves and fish, you lifted them up, and you asked God to bless them, and then it multiplied. This strange thing happened. It multiplied. You started feeding the hungry even more so. You've taken to heart what Jesus said, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Woo! I was thirsty, and you gave me cold water to drink. And when you did that, Jesus said, you are also doing that for me. Yes, good people of Crossroads, your letter from God says this. It's been 100 years, and guess what? You're just getting started. You're just getting started. Don't think that you can just hang a plaque on the wall and say, 100 years, all right, aloha, let's go. No. God says, no. Thank you. That was the proving ground. Now you've got some more work to do. God said, you must stand for those who cannot shout for justice for themselves. Woo! You must pray for kindness, and you must walk humbly with me, your God. Because God says, and guess what? I got you. I got you. I'm your backup. My spirit is within you. Don't be timid. Be brave. Be courageous. And do all of this in love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You know, when I grew up, the pastor of my church said, listen, you know, before you come to this table, you got to think a little bit about maybe a few things you have said that upset or hurt somebody. Maybe you've got to take a moment to reflect upon some forgiveness like we talked about earlier. Said, we just don't come to this table because we can. We come because we must. We don't come to this table because we're proud. We come because we're broken and we're looking for some way to be lifted up. We need to, as we used to say, you need to get your back straight. But first you come on your knee and then you break bread together. So I'm so moved to think that on World Communion Sunday, here we are in little old Honolulu, but we're sharing with people around the world. That moves me, and I hope it moves you too, that we have been blessed to do this work that God has called us to do. Let's pray together our prayer of thanksgiving for this table. Gracious God, we're so grateful for the opportunity to come to this table. We're just so grateful, Lord, because you have told us that your body is here in this place, that your spirit is in this blood, that this bread represents you, and this cup is the cup of forgiveness. And we need all of that, Lord, to keep going. So we ask that you bless these elements, that it will serve us, and that we can continue to serve your world. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. So Jesus told his disciples as they went into Jerusalem, he said, go and find a place where we can share the Passover meal. And they went in and they found a place called we know it as the upper room. And when they went there and sat down at the table, but then they were shocked, they were surprised because it was not like an ordinary feast. He said, no, we're going to do something different today. He took bread, he lifted it up to God and said, bless this bread. And he said, this represents my body, broken for you. Every time you eat of it, do so in remembrance of me. At that same meal, he took wine and a cup, and he poured it out. And as he did so, he said, this represents my blood, the cup of the new covenant, forgiveness of sin and power and love. When you drink of this cup, do so in remembrance of me. Brothers and sisters, people of Christ, we know that we may not be worthy, but yes, God says, you are able because I got your back and I'm with you in all things. We come forward now, and with our hearts wide open, we take of Christ's body broken for us, and we take of this cup. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.